Blog Talk Radio.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and guarded every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, was with us, leading God us through your word breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup.
Hello, this is Nancy Baxter, and welcome to an overview of the Book of Job. I absolutely love to study the Book of Job, and I especially love to share it with others. We're going to spend just a few minutes looking at the book of Job. This is a 42-chapter book, and you cannot study it in just a few minutes, but we're not actually going to study it. This is just an overview. And at the end of our visit, I have an exciting opportunity for you. Now, I'd like to start by telling you just briefly how I came to study the book of Job. It was in the years 2000, 2001, that everything that could hit our family did hit our family. And every week, it was one devastating thing after another. My children were in two different states. They dreaded Thursday because it was every Thursday, it was some devastating news. And this went on and on and on. And this time period started with a physical injury. I had a physical injury. And from that time, it moved to great inconveniences, disappointments, major disappointments, and then finally a great personal loss. And even after that great personal loss, the trouble did not end there. And other people noticed, and they would comment on the problems we were having and what was happening to us. There were people who told me, you're a wonderful example, and I just wanted to scream. I don't want to be an example. I don't want to be an example. It's too hard to be an example. And we began to question if God was punishing us because, you know, that's what you're told throughout your life. When problems happen, that God has a reason for these things or that God is punishing you. And I personally believe that when God punishes you, you know exactly the reason why. You know what you've done and you know that he is punishing you to bring you back to him. He doesn't just attack you for no reason. That's not God. And finally, after all these thoughts and the weeks and the months of problems, we realized that this was not the work of God. This was the work of Satan. And then we got scared. It was a scary thing. But even in the fear and the fright, we now had something to work with. And people said, God has a reason for all of this. And, you know, this was not God. This was Satan. And people don't want to hear that for whatever reason. I don't know. But this was not God. This was Satan. And one day I stopped at the stop sign. I was on my way to work. I was crying. My heart was just too heavy. And I stopped at that stop sign, and Job came into my mind. And, you know, when you have problems, we just automatically compare ourselves to Job. And I realized on that October day that the book of Job was not given to us to make us feel that our problems didn't matter. The book of Job is given to us as an example. So I devoured that book for about 2 years, and I've made it my life's mission to teach it to as many people as I possibly can. I live, breathe, and eat the book of Job. Now, scholars believe that the book of Job was the first book ever written. And there's got to be a reason for that. I don't think that's just coincidence. God gave us this book first, and he gave it to us to help us through our problems. He gave it to us to help us get to the other side. And he gave it to us to help us be victorious. Now, for the next few minutes, let's look at the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man from the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, in these verses, we find the answer to all the questions we have about the man Job. How could Job go through these problems and come out on the other side? How could Job stay faithful? How could Job not cave in? How? What? Why? Where? The answer to all of it is right here in these verses. Because this man was perfect, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's how he could do it, ladies. He feared God and he eschewed evil. Now, when the Bible says that he was a perfect man, it does not mean that he was without sin, as was Jesus Christ. No, it does not mean that he was without sin, but he pleased God. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He pleased God. Then, as the old-timers say, in the middle of all this wonderful life and successful lifestyle that Job lived, up jumped the devil. And the devil decides that he wants Job. But you know what? He has to go to God to get him, because God has built this hedge around him. Now, why did God build a hedge around him? Why? We find it right there in those first 3 verses, don't we? Because this man was perfect, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And because of that, God was faithful to Job as well, and God built a hedge around him. Now, the devil approaches God, and he asks for Job. In his dealings with God, the devil is impertinent, he's crude, he's disrespectful. He says in a very accusatory tone, "You let down your hedge and he will curse you to your face." Now, what a thing to say. You let down your hedge, God, and he'll curse you to your face, because Job is only worshiping you because of the good things you've given him, the way you've blessed him, and because you have a hedge around him. Now, that's how Satan is talking to God. And God agreed. In 2 separate confrontations, God turned everything but Job's mortality, his life, God turned everything but Job's life over to Satan. Why did he do that? Because this was a spiritual war. It was a battle that had to be fought, and it had to be won. God didn't care what Satan thought about him. But you know what? He cared what you thought about him. He cared what the world from this point on was going to think about him. And Satan was saying, you are not worthy to be praised and worshipped because of who you are. Job is only worshiping you because of the good things you've done for him. That was a battle. You know, sometimes we have to go to war, and this was one of those times. This was a great spiritual battle between God himself and Satan himself. And Job was the pawn in the middle. Well, we all know what happened. Job lost it all, including his 10 children. 10 children. He lost all of his livestock. He lost all of his belongings. And he lost his children. Who else lost it all, ladies? Mrs. Job lost it all. Job's wife lost it all. And you know, we get so pious when we speak of her. We can judge her and just know exactly what type of person she was, can't we? She lost 10 children, ladies. How would you react? Let's go to the Bible to form an opinion on Mrs. Job. Well, Job was left covered in painful boils, and he's sitting on an ash heap. And 3 of his friends come to comfort him, the Bible says. And when they arrived, they found Job in a terrible way. They didn't even recognize him. He looked so bad. Job was moaning and groaning. He was cursing the day he was born. He even cursed the night he was conceived. Why didn't I die in my mother's womb, he says. And you know what? These friends who came to comfort him, they lit into him hook, line, and sinker. They told him that he was guilty of something, and if he would just confess it, God would release him of his torment. Because, you see, they believed God must have a reason for this, just like we hear today. Think about this. You've just lost your kids. Not just one of them, 10 of them. You've lost your children, and your good friends are telling you that it's your fault. You're sitting there in agony. You've lost your riches. You've lost your health. You've lost your children. You're sitting there in agony, and your good friends are saying, this is all your fault. Now, this is real, ladies. Job was real. Mrs. Job was real. These friends were real. And picture Job and get a grip on what is happening to this man. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that? Maybe more than you think you can. Maybe more than you think you can. But these friends who came to comfort him, they didn't back off, not for 1 minute. They just kept coming. They kept coming. They kept pounding. And they mounted an all-out assault on Job to the point that they accused him of specific sins. They said, you've neglected the widows and the orphans. You've done a host of other things. They accused him of specific sins, and the fact that they'd never seen him do any of those things didn't matter to them at all. And you know what? Up until this point, they never heard that he'd done any of those things because he hadn't. They just conjured it up in their mind, and they accused him of it. Now, Job came back at these guys. We hear the patience of Job, and I really fail to see that because Job was giving as good as he got. He did not just wilt in their presence. Job came back at them. After many long chapters and 3 different sessions of dialogue between Job and these friends, finally, the friends just threw up their hands. They're done with him. They're done with him. Can't do anything else. Don't want any more to do with him. These are his friends. His friends. what happened, ladies, is that his friends came to comfort him, and they became part of his problem. And these friends were part of the devil's plan, and they became part of the problem. And the conclusion of the book will bear this out. So don't overlook that when you study the book of Job. It is a wonderful thing to be a comforter, but we have to make sure that we are offering comfort and not becoming part of the problem. Saying things like, "I told you so," "I knew that wouldn't work," those are not comforting things. You're becoming the problem. "I'm just trying to help you, and look what you said to me. You're the problem." Don't say that. You're the problem. When my dad was ill, the night before he died, his family, his friends were coming to pay their respects, and there were some cousins there. And they visited for a while, and they left. Well, the next morning, my dad passed. And this one cousin said, "Well, I knew last night Tommy wouldn't make it." Well, if that's what you knew, then keep that to yourself, because you haven't impressed me with your great, wonderful psychic knowledge. I was praying that he would make it. You told me you were praying for him that he would make it. And now you're telling me you knew that he wouldn't make it? That's not comforting. You're becoming my problem. Then after the friends throw up their hands at Job, a young fellow comes out of nowhere, and he has all the answers. Now, how degrading this must have been for the greatest man in the East. This young man comes out of nowhere, and he has all the answers. Job never answers him. Job never responds to this young man. Finally, God speaks, but you know what? He's not so kind to Job either. He tells Job, "Gird up your loins and stand up like a man. I've got some questions for you, and you're going to answer me." That would be frightening, ladies. That would be frightening for God to tell you that. God says, "Where were you when I laid the boundary of the ocean? Did you give the horses strength? I did. Can you bring to naught the mighty behemoth? I can." Now, after four chapters of God ripping him apart, Job saw the big picture. And you know what else he saw? He saw his part in it. And you know what? He wasn't the center of the big picture. God was. God was the center of the big picture. There's so much more than this, but we can't learn it all in this short amount of time. Do you want to learn more? I think you probably do. But you know, we don't usually study the book of Job because it's difficult to understand, it's long, it's hard to read. But when your problems become as difficult as my problems were, you'll do whatever it takes to get some relief. You know, it's like when you're sick. Remember when you were little and your mom took you to the doctor and you got that awful tasting medicine? It was worse than what was wrong with you, but your mom made you take it because she knew you needed it to get over the flu or the stomach bug or whatever it was you had. Well, if you're sick enough, it doesn't matter how bad that medicine tastes, you just take it. So I don't want to hear you complaining about life's problems if you won't study the book of Job. I figure if you've got a real problem, you'll be glad to study it. Ladies, in our lives, we either have a problem or we've got the battle scars from a problem. We either have a problem or we will have a problem, and we need to head it off. So I invite you to study the book of Job with us. Now, we're holding a conference where we will study this entire book in depth, but we're going to have some fun too. This conference will take place October 17th through the 19th in Branson, Missouri at the Welk Resort. I will be teaching, and this will be an intimate study session. When you register, you'll get a study guide to prepare yourself for the conference, and then you'll get a chance to discuss your answers, just like you're sitting at your kitchen table studying with your dearest friends. This is for women only. And we're going to look at the book of Job from a woman's perspective. And that's the name of our conference, From a Woman's Perspective. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. I cannot wait. I'm so excited about this. We'll have some music during the conference. On Saturday afternoon, you'll have free time to go to a nice restaurant, see a show, go shopping. After all, this is from a woman's perspective, so we're going to do those things as well. But best of all, you'll leave prepared to hold your ground with the devil himself, because you'll see the big picture, or a glimpse of it anyway. You'll get a glimpse of the big picture. I can't wait, ladies. As I told you, I live, breathe, and eat the book of Job. Why? Because that day in October, I saw the big picture, and you will too. I hope you'll join us for this conference. The full details are on our website, www.houseofjoyministries.com. Go there, read about it, tell your friends about it, and register. We have some special prices for you at the hotel. This is going to be held at the Welk Resort in Branson, Missouri. It's going to be a great weekend. You're going to take a week off at some point. Why not spend it in the Word of God? Get revived and refreshed and get a glimpse of the big picture. We hope you've enjoyed this overview of the book of Job, and we hope you'll join us for our conference, From a Woman's Perspective. Hope to see you soon. I love to study the Bible with a group of Christian women, especially that type of study where we come together and share not only our answers to questions, but also the concerns of our lives and thoughts and desires of our hearts. If you enjoy this type of Bible study group, then we invite you to join us for one of our dynamic conferences. There's one coming up soon. Go to our website, houseofjoyministries.com. Come on, you know you want to come, and we sure want you to be there.
Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine garden, we are the branches. You washed and caught every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, who's with us, leading God us through your word, breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill